The sermon is entitled Forgiveness versus Grudges. I picked up a lot of this last week. We weren't here. We were back at the Hazeldale Church of Christ and back where I grew up, and that was what class was on. And it's like, well, that's for me, thinking about forgiveness, I was just thinking it's pretty easy, right? And there's not a whole lot to it. I'm going to blow right through this sermon. I mean, I'm going to be done with this. We'll be out of here by 11:10. But actually, there is a lot to forgiveness. I don't know if everybody else is looking at it in that class before. So by the time I was done, I have enough slides, I think, for two sermons. So I've cut it in half. So we'll see how it goes. The Bible reading is Matthew 6, verses 14 through 15. So for our visitors, one thing that we will be referencing the Bible. And I'm going to let God do all the speaking because there isn't anything that I could possibly say that would give him any information or help at all. God's word is what we use to put these sermons together. If you look at Matthew 6, 14 through 15, and I appreciate Harrison reading that for us this morning, it says, "For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you." Now this verse, let's take a look at it really closely. But it says, "But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins." I hadn't thought about it too much. It's like right there, I was like, uh-oh. What have I done? Or what did that just say? And am I in pretty good shape with this or not? So I decided to continue looking at these verses, and I looked at Mark chapter 11, verses 24 through 25. Let's take a look at that. That kind of reiterates what Matthew 6, 14 through 15 said. That says, "Therefore I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you received it, and it will be yours. And whenever you stand praying, forgive. And if you have anything against anyone, so that your Father also is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses." Forgiveness seems to be extremely important, more important than I ever really thought or gave it the credit for. And so then I'm like, all right, let me start taking a look at forgiveness. What does the Bible say about forgiveness? What are some examples of forgiveness? I sort of ran into some that was kind of the opposite of that. When you talk about Jacob and Esau, and sort of I started getting into maybe grudges, Joseph and his brothers, when you talk about that story, it seems to be a little rough for people to forgive, and actually things start to turn around where they have grudges. And so I'd like to read, the one that did come out is Matthew 18. So if you could turn with me with Matthew 18, verses 21 through 35. I would like to read to that as well. And it says, "Then Peter came to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times? And Jesus said to him, I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And when he had begun to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. But as he was not able to pay, his master commanded that he be sold with his wife and children and all that they had, and the payment be made. The servant therefore fell down before him, saying, Master, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. Then the master and the servant was moved with compassion, released him, and forgave him the debt. But that servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii, and he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, Pay me what you owe. So his fellow servant fell down at his feet and begged him, saying, Have patience with me, and I will pay you all. And he would not, but went out and threw him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what had been done, they were very grieved and came and told their master all that had been done. Then his master, after he had called him, said to him, You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you begged me. Should you not also have had compassion on your fellow servant just as I had pity on you? And his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due to him. So my heavenly Father also will do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses." So that made me think, have I done that? Have I forgiven people, or am I sort of like what Joseph's brothers was doing? Do I hold grudges? And it really made me think, and I start to think about my grandfather. And my grandfather, so I know I've talked to everyone a little bit about him. He was quite the character, I will call him. And very outspoken, pretty loud at times. But we did a lot of things together as I was growing up, so very, very close with him. And for an example, I'll give you a couple examples of kind of the guy that he was. So we'd go and mow my great-grandmother's yard. And we had a, Brian, you may be familiar with this, there was a lawnmower that we had that had three wheels, and it drove by a chain powered the front wheel, but you could turn the thing almost all the way around where it would go backwards, almost go backwards. I don't remember what those called. You remember what the name of those? Yeah. Yep. So those mowers, and so my brother and I did not like to ride this mower because the motor sat between your legs, sort of super hot. I don't know, Mark, maybe you've driven these. If anybody's familiar with these mowers, but so we'd give it to my grandfather. He would drive it, and my great-grandmother lived in town, and she lived kind of across from the guy that did a lot of welding work, and there would be a lot of our neighbors that would be hanging out there because that's where you could get a soda in this little bitty town. And so he would go out and mow with this, and my brother would get the big riding mower. I'd usually push, but he could take this mower and he'd grab with his arm and he'd hold that steering wheel with that mower and he'd grab a light pole right in front of the welding shop so everybody could see, and he'd swing that mower around. I mean, he wasn't mowing anything, Brian, because I would see the blades as he'd go, they were up off the ground because he was swinging that thing. But that's the kind of guy, I mean, he was just like, very, people really liked it, right? So everybody enjoyed this guy. And he was outspoken, but at one time he told me, he said, you know, when I die, the hedgerows are going to grow up around here and nobody's going to take care of this place. Basically what he said to me. And so, you know, I took that to heart, really, with what he said. And it's true. So it is very, very true. Does anybody know what a hedgerow is? Maybe I'll explain that as well. Hedgerow, if you farm, and that's what we did, they go around the field, basically. And if you don't take care of those, like trees and brush and all this stuff grows up in those. Right, Brian? Yep, so that stuff grows up. And what you don't want is a whole bunch of that stuff growing up because that works its way into the fields. And crops don't grow as well, it doesn't look as well, things like that. So, but every time I go back home, now I'm looking at those fence rows and it's like, you know what, I am for sure going to be able to take care of those fence rows. I am going to, if there's a brush or a tree or whatever growing up in there, I'm going to go out and I'm going to knock that thing down. It is not going to go out on my watch. We're not going to have this happen on my watch. So I am keeping this grudge against this guy this whole time. I mean, it's like, you know, I am going to prove you wrong, that I am not this lazy person that you thought I was. Not that he said that, but it's something I've carried around with me for a long, long time. And even though my parents are back there and they help take care of all these things, you know, it's like, I'm going to make sure that I am not the guy that ever lets one tree branch grow up, you know, one tree grow up on any of this stuff. Is that something that really, do I need to do that to go to heaven? I think about that. You know, why do I carry this? And there's some anger that goes along with it. Why am I carrying it? It's the same thing with my, as I was thinking about this sermon and watching the guys play basketball. When I was playing basketball in high school, I did have some colleges that would come and they were, you know, wanting to see if I wanted to go and extend my career and things like that. And my head basketball coach told them, that I wasn't good enough and don't worry about signing this guy up because he just isn't that good. Which, he was probably true about that, but man, did I ever hold a grudge against this guy? And don't think about it until, you know, in college when I go and play a little pickup basketball with the guys, I mean, I'm out to murder them. I step on the court and it's like, I am going to kill you and I'm going to show you that I'm the best one out there, even though all these guys were just playing for fun. And I had a guy who's like, what, you know, what are you doing? Why are you playing so hard? Or why, we're just out here for fun. This is for the joy of the game. And here you are trying to, you know, kill everyone. And if I could, I'd stomp their throat, you know? stuff like that. It was a grudge I was carrying around. I'm not even exactly sure why. So I need to think about, as I thought about those things, and I don't know if anybody can put themselves in my place as well, you know, are you carrying around something like that? And you don't even really realize it. It doesn't, does it mean a whole lot? But it does at times. So one thing about to get out of this and thinking about that, these things, is actually forgiving ourselves. Angie and I talked a lot about this, you know, as we were waiting for some of the games and overnight. Are we able to just, you know, forgive ourselves? And we need to think about that in Romans chapter 3 and verse 23. Because it says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And do we understand that verse? Do we think about that verse as like, everybody needs to give yourselves a little bit of a break here, that we have all sinned, and we all will sin, and we all fall short of the glory of God. So just understand that when you're beating yourself up on some of these things that you've done. But I also want to take a look at 1 Timothy chapter 1, and let's look at verses 12 through 17. It runs through our theme that we basically had for 2025, that God is in control. And if God is willing to forgive us, why can't we forgive ourselves? And that verse in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12 says, I thank him who has given me strength, Christ Jesus our Lord, because he judged me faithful, appointing me to his service. Though formerly I was a blasphemer, persecutor, and insolent opponent, but I received mercy because I had acted ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord overflowed for me with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. The saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of who I am the foremost. But I received mercy for this reason, that in me, as the foremost, Jesus Christ might display his perfect patience and as an example to those who were to believe in him for eternal life. To the King of ages, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. So if God can't forgive us, or God can forgive us, you know, why can't we forgive ourselves? And why do we hold on sometimes to some of these grudges? So I decided to do a little bit more as far as effort in digging into grudges. And that's a part of our attitude. It just seems like it's an attitude that's out there. There was an article out there by L.A. Stauffer, and I started to read that. And he had about 5 points that we need to consider if we think we have grudges holding something against each other. And that's what I wanted to kind of replay with what was going on with me. First point, without our consent. So without our consent, no man can fill our hearts with bitter grudges. There's nobody that can put a grudge into our heart without us grabbing a hold of that and taking that anger. The second point is, in order to return evil for evil, we really have to agree to do that. It's not going to be on our minds. We have to make that decision to do evil for evil. And I kind of watched that in our basketball games as I was talking to the guys at the are watching some of these games and watching some videos from other games. I mean, there's games where there's, I would say, like, what, fifth, sixth grade, where the parents are about to beat each other up. For what? Why? It's a silly, does this game, has God said somewhere in the Bible, if you don't win this game, you're not going to go to heaven? You know, what is out there that gets everyone so wound up? But we make a choice when we refuse to reprove our enemies, say that a lot twice, and respond with kindness and love and a meek and quiet spirit. And then we need to be humble and forgiving brethren in Christ are what we choose to be. We choose to be humble and forgiving. And these grudges, and I know I've had a sermon on idols, if you can remember, this grudge can become an idol. It can become all-consuming. When I go back and look at those fence rows, that consumes me, and it never needed to happen. If you look at Proverbs chapter 21 through 22, I want to throw that one out there as well. It says, if your enemy is hungry, give him bread to eat, and if he is thirsty, give him water to drink. For you will heap burning coals on his head, and the Lord will reward you. One of those two guys in the basketball game just said, hey, here, just have a bottle of water and cool off. But if you look at Hebrews chapter 12 and verses 13 through 15, it starts to talk about the root of bitterness. When we don't work with forgiveness, when we let all of these grudges start to grow, this root of bitterness starts to show up. And there's a lot of verses that talk about root of bitterness, and that's not some place we want to go, because just think about it. Bruce, what were you doing just a little while ago back there in the back with the door? We locked it. We locked the door. Why? Why are we locking the door to this? Have some of these grudges grown so much when we see people marching and things like that, like the basketball game, fighting in the stands? Where have we gone as a society to now where we think that we need to lock our door? Has this root of bitterness grown up so much? Has it grown so big that we have to do such things? You know, there's so many things out there in our society where we are a performance society. We have to be the best. We have to hustle. We have to do all these things. Is that the case to get to heaven when we think about that? Do we have to be the best? Are only the best looking people, are only the most talented people, the ones who are going to end up going to heaven? How as a society did we get to the point of this performance type society? And do we not think about our talents? I mean, is it the best basketball players? That's the guys that are going to get to go to heaven? When we think about that, God has given us all many talents. We have several talents. The key to those things is just really to uncover those talents. It's not just one certain one. Good looks, all these different things that society puts on us. There's so many things that we can use to work towards our heavenly home. But I want to look at Hebrews chapter 12, verses 13 through 15. That says, and make straight paths for your feet, so that what is lame may not be put out of joint, but rather be healed. Okay, and 14, strive for peace with everyone, and for the holiness without which no one will see the Lord. So to it that no one fails to obtain the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springs up and causes trouble, and by it many become defiled. When you think about bitterness, I have just a couple points here about bitterness. Bitterness is very personal. And a lot of times, bitterness starts with a lot of small things. Do I have the fence rows cleaned up? My basketball coach saying I wasn't good enough to play, does it matter to my heavenly home about how well I played basketball? No. These are very small things. It's usually very near to us. In other words, it's usually with people who are close to us in our lives. Someone that has to, is making a close difference to us. And bitterness is in the details. It remembers everything. If I think about that, I remember the exact line my grandfather said to me when he talked about not being able to take care of the fence rows. But I have forgotten maybe the hundreds to thousands of good things and encouraging things that guy has said to me. But I remember the one. We have to think about that. Why is that? Why do we have people marching around? Or why is everyone so angry? And we, with our society and the way we are with all of our technology, so quickly can be in front of our faces that, you know, it grows so fast, this root. But we need to take a look at Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 31. If you could turn to that with me as well. It says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you. Be put away from you along with malice. We need to put those things away. We also need to understand, how are we going to do that? How do we put those things away? Mark was talking earlier that, you know, I'm not Maybe my core beliefs are the same, but things change. Over the last 5 years, over the last 10 years, you know, things are different, or see things a little bit different, or I've learned additional things, or learned additional things from you that's made changes in our lives. But the how. And it's that how is by this wisdom that we keep picking up little by little from above. Let's take a look at James chapter 3, verses 13 through 18. If we can look at James chapter 3, verses 13 through 18. It says, "Who is wise and understanding among you? By his good conduct, let him show his work in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambitions in your hearts, do not boast and be false to the truth. This is not the wisdom that comes down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder and every vile practice. But the wisdom from above," I'll read that again, "but the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle," as we talked about in class today in Acts chapter 15, "open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. And a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace." Forgiveness and peace. All these things that we see in James chapter 3 in those verses 13 through 18 are how we work to become righteous and not have this bitter root. So I want to continue, and that would be basically the end of my sermon, but I also want to close this sermon. Last time I completely forgot the invitation. That's rare. I don't know anyone ever doing that, but I did it, so you'll have to forgive me for that, and I will forgive myself for doing that too. Because in order to work that, in order to be saved and starting your journey, you first have to hear God's word in Romans 10:17. And from that, you have to have faith. If you look at Hebrews 11, chapter 6, and chapter 11, verse 6, it talks about faith. And so I am going to help you out with your faith today. And I want to ask this question to everyone. Has anyone heard of Hazor Megiddo, and I'll call it Gezer, but it's spelled G-E-Z-E-R, Gezer. Mark, you know where these places are? I will give you some help. These are places. You will find those. Case, you know where these are? Sorry to put you on the spot, buddy. Dominic? No. Dominic shakes his head. Everybody, let's turn to 1 Kings. Kevin, you got it for me? 1 Kings 9, chapter 9, 15 through 19. Guys, let's look this up together. And it says in verse 15, "And this is the account of the forced labor that King Solomon drafted to build the house of the Lord and his own house, and what I'll say, and the Milo and the wall of Jerusalem, and Hazor, and Megiddo, and Gezer." I'll call it Gezer, because I've never even heard these really pronounced that much. "Pharaoh, king of Egypt, had gone up and captured Gezer and burned it with fire, and he had killed the Canaanites who lived in the city and had given it as a dowry to his daughter, Solomon's wife. So Solomon rebuilt Gezer and Lower Beth Horon, and Baalath, and Tamar in the wilderness in the land of Judah, and all the store cities that Solomon had, and the cities for his chariots, and the cities for his horsemen, and whatever Solomon desired to build in Jerusalem, in Lebanon, and all the land of his dominion." These are three cities that he rebuilt. So these three cities built during the Solomonic, if you look at that on the internet, period, share the same building features that were given here in the Bible. Three city gates were designed in the same manner, and they had to be designed by the same guy. They're the same. They had the same structural dimensions, and they were somehow were built by the same works in style and methodology they had from Phoenicia, and they utilized the exact same material, even though these places were not, I would say, really close to each other. But they contained ashlar masonry that was quarried in Tyre. So I ask you to take, there is some controversy of this. Of course, people will say, hey, no, that's not true. I ask you to look all this up. But these three gates, all designed the same, looked the same, all came from this period where King Solomon was at, and they've found all three. So let me help you with your belief on that. The next step, once you have that belief, is to repent of your sins, as we've talked about in verse Luke 13:3. We want to confess as well in Matthew 10:23, which I'll read. Therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him I will confess before my Father who is in heaven, and then be baptized for the remission of sins. And then the last one that Dennis always mentions, Mark as well, is we need to live faithful, not hold these grudges, remember to forgive one another, and live our lives in a manner that works our way towards righteousness as we learn these things from the wisdom above. So if there is anything that you need, if you need to look at this, or if there's something that's happened in your life that you may need the prayers of the saints, come forward as we stand and sing our song.